Grayson Lane for that one. Number 435. 435. Stand and sing, "This Jesus came into my heart." Watch on the chorus now.
What a wonderful change in my life has become since you have been into my heart.
Together. Father, we love you, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of God tonight. So enjoyed the good spirit here this morning, and Lord, you blessed, and we want that same spirit tonight, Father, a spirit of expectation, rightly dividing the word of truth, the good singing, Lord, the encouragement that we receive in these seemingly dark days, or at least days that were full of unsurety, and God, we're just people are just not knowing exactly what to do. God, I'm glad in the overall scheme of things, God has it all under control. So I pray, God, that we'll be faithful and we'll be receptive to the leadership you give us in certain areas. And God, we certainly want to follow God's perfect will in this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you again for everybody being here. Bless the choir, the special music, and of course the Word of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
for that. Well, we're going to stand and we're going to do what we did this morning. Okay, what do they call it? Distancing. And so do what you got to do, but let's have a little time of fellowship. And choir, you can be dismissed. Thank you.
Tonight. Let me make a real quick announcement while I'm thinking about it so that you'll be prepared and all. But I don't know if any of you saw, but the governor had another news conference today. And basically, he said that all the schools in South Carolina now close from K-4 all the way up to the university. So all the public schools, now the daycares will still be open, but he's leaving that up to the individuals. So I know that's going to create a little bit of hardship and some logistical problems for parents having to try, if you're working and you have your kids have to go somewhere. So what I'm going to do is, this is a 2-week thing, it's to the end of March. So we're going to postpone our Wednesday night services for the next 2 weeks, not the Sunday services. Now, unless something happens worse, right now it's still on that lower level. So there are 9 more cases in South, and now they're kind of spread out from top to bottom as opposed to just Camden and Lancaster and Kershaw County. And so we want to be careful about that. But this way it's not a logistical problem for the parents, because I already heard 3 even before I even made the announcement. Come by and say, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. Where am I? I got to find somewhere to put them. And I know that's a problem. So we're going to do that for the next 2 Wednesday nights. Now, and if there's another church that's having Wednesday night and you want to go, that's fine. Just remember where you belong, okay? But and I don't do this very often, and I started to do it just for this coming Wednesday, but since the school's right, he's already said 2 weeks, and so I know that's not going to change, I'm sure. So I talked to the fellas again just a minute right before we started the service and said, maybe we need to close it for the next 2 weeks. So that way you'll know. Brother Steve will put it out on the email. It'll be on the website. It'll be on Facebook so that we can get it out to everybody. If you know somebody doesn't have any of that, then be sure and let them know, especially if they're regular Wednesday night attenders. Again, it's only, just for the sake of the parents, this situation. And, if this was some kind of happened suddenly, probably wouldn't go in the same direction unless it was really necessary on that Wednesday. But he's already said everything. All schools are closed. And he didn't make it mandatory for, like, private schools. So I don't know, Bill Grace and some of them, I don't know what they're going to. I'm assuming they're probably going to go along with the state on that. But anyway, the point is that, so just keep that in mind. I don't want you to, and please don't get used to not coming on Wednesday night, okay? That's the only bad part about doing this, is I don't want you to, after 2 weeks, to go, well, that wasn't too bad. So help me out there, and I hope that you'll stay prayed up, read your Bible, and be looking forward to when Sunday does come around. and that you'll be right here at your place, okay? So just keep that in mind if you would. Also, of course, the folks we've been praying for, Becky Johnson, Thomas Thacker, Jim Clower, talked to Joaquin a few minutes. He's just all eat up with the sinus congestion and all, and a lot of it. He works outside all the time, and if you go out in this stuff this time of the year, you know you're going to get hung up in it no matter how you try not to. And so anyway, you pray for him, of course, and hopefully he'll be better by next Sunday as well. So just wanted to kind of make that mention to you. I hope it'll help you in some way. That's why we're doing it. I wouldn't do this normally, but I want to try to be a good citizen of South Carolina and go along as best I can. If they ever try to tell us what to preach and how, then there'll be a problem. And again, this is not something that we may do all the time. This is just such an unusual situation, the way this is going. And so, just might help to, keep people. By the way, I got a real blessing tonight. Let me share a little praise report with you. I had one of our young ladies bring me a coronavirus survival kit. I mean, it was wrapped. It's the time to wrap it and everything. Let me show you my coronavirus survival kit. Started to say the water here, but that came from Brother Ed. They're green snowballs. Now, they got to last for 2 weeks, so I'm going to have to cut them up. They probably won't make it till bedtime tonight. But anyway, now this is the most important piece of all. I'm sorry, but I still don't get the thing about buying all the toilet paper in South Carolina. I don't get it. I mean, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I met Brian and Bethany there too. I mean, there was bread and no toilet paper. Go figure. So anyway, thank you, Jenny. This came from my pal Jenny, and she fixed me up a nice survival kit. So I'll be good at least until Wednesday. All right. So anyway, and next Sunday, if you think you need to, restock my survival kit. No, I just keep teasing with you, child. Just teasing. Come on, Brian, if you got anything.
Dude, how much you want for that roll?
I might put that on Amazon or eBay.
Yeah. I might make a that's good. So the pastor told you about Wednesday night, of course. And by the way, I don't think this is out of order at all. Just mention this. Pray for and back your pastor on these decisions, because these are not easy, okay? Just a little PSA there, okay? By the way, maybe think of ways that you can help out with children and senior citizens in the church over the next few weeks. And I'll just, that's a little free advertisement.
Real quick, what you call our seniors throughout the week. And I'm going to say something right now. I have 3 dates above and looked out for his folks. He mentioned 3 different times, faith-based group, care of them. I think that's one. Thank God. I don't know anything about his spiritual condition. Thank God he thinks about his spiritual. We need to follow that.
The Bible called that pure religion and undefiled. All right, so Wednesday night, of course, is canceled. The meetings for Saturday, as far as we know, we're on. So, but yeah, all the churches around here are in the same boat. So let's be in prayer for each other. But as of right now, they're still on, but we will communicate that with you promptly when we know of any changes to the schedule. Other than that, pray for one another, and we'll see you Sunday.
All right, 333, let's stand and sing The Lily of the Valley, first and last stanza, 333.
Now, I know, I guess now Jay, we got some homeschoolers here, so I can't tell if the homeschools are going to be, huh? Going strong. What can I say? That's the bad thing about homeschool is, you know, they can shut everything else down, but if you're at home, hey, you're in school, baby. Yeah, about the truth, sure enough. There, I think that's what they're thinking about trying to do with the public schools is go online, kind of do something, you know, because I don't know how they're going to make this up or if they're going to try to. I don't know. I really don't know. I have my kids been out of school so long, I don't think about it much. But anyway, all right. Come on, ushers. Let's take care of our offering this evening, and then we'll have our special. All right, let's pray. Father, we sure love you tonight, and we thank you for the privilege of being here, and I appreciate the faithfulness and the understanding of our people. Lord, you know my heart. You know it's never, ever, ever my intention to not have service. Lord, sometimes circumstances come to that. And so, Lord, I pray that we're not disobeying the word of God or your will for us in doing this. But, Lord, we just feel like we want to help our people to kind of get through this as easy as possible. And so I pray, God, that we'll pray for one another, lift each other up, and check on what I do. Lord, I appreciate Governor McMaster and how that on several occasions he talked about checking on our seniors, not just the faith-based groups, but all of our seniors, just checking on folks, make sure they're okay, watching out for one another. And I appreciate that, Lord. I can't imagine what this country would be like if everybody thought the same way. If every governor and every public official had some thought about God in their decision, Lord, this place would be, I just can't imagine. And it can be, Lord. It can still be that way. I do pray for him. I pray you'll bless him as he administrates our state. And God, we do appreciate our people, Lord, and their goodness to us, Lord. And I pray, dear God, you'll see us through this thing like I know you will. Lord, that those folks that are sick and have the virus, that it'll be that sort of easier time of it. But for our seniors and folks, God, we want them to be protected and to be safe. We want to keep them around just as long as we can. So I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to encourage one another, to get on the telephone. You can't pass a bug through a phone, so I pray that we'll use that telephone this week and next week to check on one another and say, hey, how you doing? Everything okay? And just let them know we're praying for them. And Father, I pray you'll bless now the offering, the gift, and the giver. Help us, Lord, to continue to give us unto the Lord. I pray for these churches that are having to pray about ladies' meetings and other things, and us as well in all of this. Lord, we certainly want to follow God's leadership. Lord, I know from talking with other pastors and Judy talked with some of the ladies and some of the churches, the pastors' wives that plan these meetings. It's not easy to say, hey, we're canceling it. It's just not easy to do, Lord, because we feel like that's a ministry that you've placed in our heart, and we want to be obedient and follow through with that ministry and be faithful to it just as long as possible. I pray for them as they're making decisions about their own churches, and every pastor is different. Every pastor has a different view and purpose. So, God, I pray they'll be obedient to the leadership of the Lord in whatever direction you'd have them go. I'll bless the gift and the giver, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing for us, Lenora Martin.
Oh,
Get your Bibles ready. Listen now to
the pastor. Amen. Thank you, Miss Lenore. I appreciate that. That's a good old hymn right there. Only believe. All things are possible. Well, the Bible said, doesn't it? With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And He'll get us through this, folks. I'm telling you, He's a good God. You just keep praying and following Him. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. The book of Ephesians chapter number 1. Number 1249 if you have a Scofield Bible. When you find your place, if you'll stand with me, please, we'll read several verses, give you the message if you're able to stand. Let's stand together. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's begin reading in verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." That's good, isn't it? We can stop right there and have a good time. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him." Please understand that that idea of choosing us before the foundation of the world is not predestination. It is the idea of predetermining how we would be after we come to Christ. Be holy and without blame. Having predestinated us, there's that word, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, to whom we have redemption through His blood, even or the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance till redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Father, we love You today. Thank You for the opportunity to be back tonight. Appreciate the faithfulness of Your people being back in the house of God this evening. Lord, again, we pray for our folks that are not able to be here. Some are sick. Some not able to. Some are traveling. Some not able to be here, but some maybe just decided not to. Lord, I'll just leave that between You and them. Father, I pray that we'll open up God's Word and feed the flock tonight with the thought that You've laid upon our heart. We pray that You'll hide us in the shadow of the cross, Lord. Take these lips of clay and make them and use them. Cause them to say only that which would be pleasing in Your sight. We love You.
In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there's that great old song we've heard many times. I have been blessed. You can say you've been blessed. How many can say you've been blessed a whole lot? Blessed more than you deserve. And how many of you are looking forward to more blessings? I mean, that is the essence of the Christian hope. It's not, well, maybe I'll get some and maybe I won't. But our hope is in Christ. And so we can say, I'm looking forward to. And the reason, you know, have you ever seen the commercials where it's either about investing or it could be about weight loss? And the little print at the bottom of the commercial says, these results may not be you, is what they're saying. You know, these results may not be common and may not be your outcome. In other words, what they're saying is these folks did it. You don't know if you're going to make it or not. Same thing with the money. You know, these results are not common, meaning that some people, just for whatever reason, and I don't know much about investing and all that. I don't do any of that. But some people seem like they hit it big. Some people don't, you know. And it's almost funny to me, because it'll say under there, it'll say, you must have at least $50,000 to invest. You know, if that's the case, then they ought to find every cable and dish DirecTV customer, determine what their income is, and don't show that commercial on their television. But it just makes you, you know, oh, sure, I got $50,000 laying around. Let me throw it somewhere and see if I can make a little dough off of it. Can't do that. The point is that people do those things with an anticipation of some return, but it may not happen, and they go into it that way. I mean, they're told it may not happen. Some of them will even say stuff like, you must have funds that you don't mind losing. And they use terminology, you know, legal terminology. But the whole idea is, if you're going to invest in this, it needs to be money that you don't mind losing. That's not very encouraging. You know, when they want you to invest, but they say, by the way, whatever you give us, you probably won't get it back. Well, you know, but people do that. And you know, that's their decision. That's what they want to do. That's perfectly fine. But most of us aren't there. But the whole point is that they're anticipating something that may not happen. Paul said here, look, go back to verse number 3, and this is the text. As I read the passage, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. That term, that phrase, is so much different from those commercials that say, oh, you have a great possibility of return, but you might lose it. And so people go into it or not go into it because they're not sure. And they just want to take a shot. It's a gamble, basically. But being a Christian is not a gamble. Being a Christian and having God watching over us is not a hope so, boy, we'll see what happens, but you might lose it. The whole point of God is that, and by the way, another thing that it'll say on there is past results do not, guarantee future return. Just because somebody else, you might have even done well in something before. I mean, come on, we all done this, most of us, some of you good fit folks have it, but most of us, we've lost that same 20 pounds 40 years. I mean, we've lost about 14 people over our lifetime. And then it comes back. And it's not because whatever we were doing isn't working. It's because we're not working it anymore. Right? I mean, that's right. Now, we all know that's right. And so the whole thing, but here Paul is talking about something that we have seen, we have experienced, we have witnessed. Since you've been saved, you have experienced in your past the blessings of God. Even in your current situation, with what's happening around us. Listen, you know what? I don't think this is selfish to say or to pray. God, thank you that I don't have that virus. I know some people might think, well, that's praying. No, I don't want anybody to get it. And I hope the ones that do survive it and that it's not real hard on them. And a lot of times, but I don't think it's wrong to say, God, thank you that I don't have it. I don't think it'd be wrong to say, God, thank you for bringing me to church and I got getting in a car wreck somewhere. Thank you, Lord, that while I was at the gas station, somebody didn't try to shoot me. Say, well, preacher, what are you grasping at? I'm saying that we have an option in Christ. We have the opportunity in Christ to rely on past results for future gain. I mean, we don't have that. There's no small print in here. The only thing that it'll say is something to this effect. If you want it, do what I say. I mean, because you know yourself, if you don't invest the money, you're not going to get it back or lose. You can't lose it if you don't invest it. I mean, that's a given. You can't lose the weight if you're not trying. Well, you can't get the blessings of God if you're not obedient. That's just a given. I don't think that has to be something that's specially taught. It's just the way it is. The text here tells us what we have received in Christ even though the world looks at it differently. What we call a blessing, the world may call a curse. Or Brother Steve was saying, we had in our deacons meeting we had for the service, we're talking about canceling the service. And trust me, folks, any preacher that's worth his salt, that's not something you want to do. Because we've given our lives to this very thing that we're doing. And Brother Stephen, I hope I'm not misquoting here, but said something to the effect that there are online and, you know, Facebook and all that, that some preachers who have canceled services or, you know, tried to cut back just for the sake of their people have been called devils. Am I telling that right, Steve? I mean, you know, because there are some people who, and by the way, the very people that are saying that are probably people who aren't faithful to their church anyway. Boy, let somebody, you know, and that's what the world, you put it on Facebook, you put it on Twitter, you put it on Instagram, whatever, the world's going to see that. And the world is going to respond to that. Well, listen, what we have in Christ is what God has put in us that the world must see in us. We've been blessed. The world looks at us differently. They see our blessings from a temporal viewpoint. They want to know, what did we get? Boy, listen, God was good to me this week. Really? How much did he give you? Might have. Might not. How much did he give you? Well, he gave me a good lunch yesterday. A good supper today. That's all? Well, man, for a hungry person, that's pretty good. You mean you didn't get a new this or a new that? No, but he kept the one I got working. Yeah, come on now. Didn't have to call the repairman. Sometimes the repairs cost more than the thing cost when you bought it. Oh, that's right. You can buy a $5,000 car and a motor blow up and have to pay $6,000 to get it fixed. I mean, that's just the way it works sometimes. But the world sees our blessings from a temporal viewpoint, but we should and ought to see our blessings from an eternal viewpoint. Are we seeing it? The world didn't, that song, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Listen, the world didn't give us our blessings. Oh, and by the way, you did not give yourself those blessings. You did not necessarily earn those blessings. That's simply a grateful God blessing you because you obeyed him. Same God that could give it to you. The world didn't give it to you. The world can't take it away, but God can. He surely can. So we notice that. Now, real quickly, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read a little parallel scripture here. I'll give you the thoughts real quickly tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It's page 1214 of Scofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice with me verses 12, 13, and 14. The Bible said, "Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble." There's all the building material. Some good stuff, some not so good stuff. "Every man's work shall be made manifest." But you see, it really doesn't matter what it is. God is going to discover it. The Bible said, "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." Talking about the judgment seat of Christ and the judgment of God. "And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Now, the reward is the blessing. Now, somebody said, well, they built it right, and so they have earned that reward. No, what they did was they obeyed God, and God was gracious to give them the reward. Somebody please show me in the Bible any verse, what you show me one verse of scripture, and I'll change my mind. God said, "I owe it to you." You can't show me that. You can't show me anywhere where God said, "And you should expect it." Oh, we, sure. I know that obeying God and doing the right thing, that the one of the consequences is a blessing, and God is good to do that, and we thank him every time. But if you're living your life just for the idea of getting something, you have just become better. You have just inserted that little line that says past performance does not guarantee. Listen, why should we be obeying God? Because he saved us. If he never did another thing for us, could never repay him, could we? Are we working for God to repay him? Of course not. He doesn't keep that kind of record. What he does is he's keeping a record of how we obey him just because he wants to do more for us. But God is a fair God. He's an equal God. And he says, listen, I've got something for you, but you're going to have to do something for it. Right? Got to be some faith. There's got to be some works there. And so the Bible talks about receiving. Temporal things evaporate. The wood, the hay, and the stubble of the fire. But he said, but those that build with gold and silver and precious stones, when the fire tries it, it'll be there. The temporal things are gone. The eternal things always be around. We need to be reminded often of all the blessings we have because of our relationship with Christ. Let's go to the text real quickly, and let me give you just three thoughts here tonight on this idea, I have, or we have been blessed. First of all, notice in verse 3, the identity of these blessings. God's never going to give us a job without telling us exactly how, when, and where to do it. God will always equip His worker. You may not have the talent, you may not have the time, you may not have the tools, mentally or otherwise, but if God called you to a work, I'm telling you folks, I never intended, it was not my goal to be a preacher. It really wasn't. It was not my goal to be standing in front of people trying to open God's Word. I mean, that's a very solemn and a very sacred thing. And even when I was going to church as a lost young man, I had a lot of reverence for any man or woman. My mother taught Sunday school for many years and did the, how many of y'all remember flannel graphs? You remember those? Mother was biggest. She would paint flannel graphs for other people to use. She was so good at that. But we'd come home from school and she'd have flannel graph all over the kitchen. You know, she's just a paint. Anyway, I had a lot of respect and honestly, a lot of reverence. Things that are not taught to children today. Thankful I grew up in a generation where we were, even though we were lost, we were told, and you sit, when you go to church, you sit down. Get up and run around. You don't get up and go to the bathroom. You don't scream out, yell out, and color in the song books. I'm telling you, and we got corporally punished for that. It didn't feel like corporal, but it felt like general punishment. Say amen right there. But the point is that we were taught that. Well, here's what I'm saying. These blessings that come from God, and notice in verse number 3 there, they all have an identity. There's a reason for them. There's a specific identity for them. And God wants to give us, look what it says in verse 3. It says, notice the source of the blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Later in the text, it talks about the Holy Spirit. So all three are identified as where the blessings come from. I mean, this is pretty simple stuff, I know. But man, people's minds are so wrapped around this crisis in the world. Sometimes it might be good not to go down so deep, come up dry, just give you something off the pond. Amen? So we find the source, it says, blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us. It didn't come from something. It did not come from something that you know in this life. It comes from Jesus Christ. Notice the scope of this blessing. Not just the source, but He blessed us with how much? All spiritual blessings. Now, I want to say right here, as we'll look further into the text in a moment, that the food you ate today is a spiritual blessing. You say, well, that's a temporal blessing. Well, it is in man's eyes. But remember, man is seeing from temporal eyes. We should be looking through eternal eyes. And so what you ate for lunch today is a spiritual blessing because of where it came from. Now, Ida Judy came from Colonel Sanders. But not really. It came from Christ. That's why when we sit down to eat it, we thank Him for it. I didn't pray to Colonel Sanders. I prayed and thanked God for it. That's who gave it to us. Say, yeah, but we go to that whole issue to argue about, well, I worked for it, and I'm the one that got up in the morning, and I'm the one that slaved, and I'm the one that worked overtime, and blah, blah, blah. You just remember where all that started when God made man in His own image. All of that is a spiritual blessing. So the source is who has blessed us, Christ. Scope, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Think that includes temporal blessings as well. And then notice, and I wrote this down, succinctness. That's a good word. I try to keep my alliteration alive. Sometimes it's not a good idea. That word simply means precise. Think about it. The source, the scope, is all blessings. And then the point of its origin is in heavenly place. About that. It doesn't come from a boardroom, folks. Doesn't come from the boss's office. Doesn't come from human resources. Doesn't come from the treasurer. Comes from heaven. Everything you and I have, every good and perfect gift, cometh from above. That's not above chain of command. It's heaven. It's heaven. Thank God that you're in a place where you can work and work your way, and other people know you. I believe if you work a public job, you ought to give it everything you got while you're there. And God uses that obedience because He tells us, hey, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And as you're working and doing right and trying to be a good testimony. By the way, being a good testimony on your job is not just mentioning Christ on occasion or praying over your food. It's being on time. It's giving it 8 hours. They're going to pay you for 8, you give them 8. Well, now you know what? In a lot of places today, that's foreign. Now I want to work half the time and make twice the money. Good luck. So what are people doing? They're relying on the government to raise the minimum wage and do things like that so you can make more. Guess what? And that means that it costs the employer more. That means less people get a job. Guess what? It's not all that big a deal. But I'm telling you, and God knows my heart, and again, His mother instilled this in me, and I'm thankful for it. A work ethic. When I worked a public job, and I worked a few before I got into the ministry, when I worked a public job, I made sure I did what I was supposed to, and I tried to find things to do, to impress the boss. Work through lunch sometimes, just to impress. You say, well, you had an ulterior motive. I sure did. For one, I wanted to keep my job, because it was paying my little car payment on my Aries K car. Y'all remember them K cars? Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody. I picked Judy up our first date, my brand new K car, chocolate brown. It looked like a Whitman's chocolate box. So proud of that car, man, it shined. And we got in the car and I turned on my stereo. The Aries K car, it was a tape player in the seat between us. Set player, that was my stereo. Judy hated that car. We got married, I bought a Buick. Oh, and all of a sudden I was then. And it's been downhill ever since. Hey, I'm talking about where those blessings come, and the fact that if you show an employer that you're serious about your job, there's good things can come from that. If you show God that you're serious about serving Him, I'm telling you, only good things can come from that. I mean, it's so logical. People today don't get it because they're trying to figure out, how can I get around that? How can I make 40 hours pay on 20 hours work? How can I do that? How can I stiff the company? I hope none of you are doing that. Well, we see the identity of these blessings. Look at verse 4, down through verse 14. I'm going to give you these quickly, and then I'll close out with the last thought, and that is the quality of these blessings. The whole list, but remember, it's not quantity, it's quality. God can give you a little bit, and it'd be better than all the stuff you get from anywhere else, because it's not quantity, it's quality. Guess what? God gives us the option of a lot. He said, He'll bless you with all blessings. Remember, world, past performance does not guarantee success. With God, when He says all spiritual blessings, whatever He's given you before, He can give you again and more, because He said, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Talk about a good return on your investment. God can give it to you, can't He? That's the blessings we have. And you know what? A lot of times we never even think about it. They'll go through a whole week, eat three meals a day, crawl in a warm bed in the evening, or turn on the air when it's warm, get up, jump in our car, it cranks the first time, it's going way down. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad for that. I mean, all of that happens, and we'll go all week till Sunday morning and never think about it. Ever thank Him for it? You say, well, that's just the way the world, it's the society. Hey, listen, God is the one in control of all this. We ought to thank Him for it. Look, real quick, let me give these to you. In verse number 4, one of the quality blessings is our election. Election. What does it say there in verse 4? According as He hath chosen us. Certainly, in the foreknowledge of God, He knew everyone in this room was going to be saved. He knows everybody that's going to be saved yet. You say, well, then why doesn't He just pick them and do it and be done with it? Because then we would say something like this: I didn't have a choice. God made us free moral agents. We all have a choice. And I don't know if it's Steve or I heard somebody maybe this week mention, and we've said this before. Remember, you can choose what you want to, but you cannot choose the consequence. You can do whatever you want. In this life, you can literally do anything you want to. You cannot determine the consequence after you've done it. And it's the same thing with God. But when we do right, it's kind of like when Jenny come up to me with that little bag. He said, "Preacher, I got you a survival kit for Harris," and I opened it, and they were all wrapped. I mean, wrapped up beautifully. Was it your aunt that wrapped it, or somebody wrapped it? Real nice. And you know what? I said, "Oh boy, present. 2 years old. Anything you ever want to bring, wrap it up. It make me, I'll be excited about that, And walk back there and open it. Because you know what? Because I knew it was for me. I didn't know what it was. God has so much for us. I know. Be good. Just don't know what He's going to do. And that is our hope. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. And it's all because He. Look this way. There's a car ride through this. I'll probably turn around. Don't worry. I think they're throwing any aisles over status or anything. We're good. But we're excited for the fact that God chose us to be holy, consecrated, and set apart. And those words are used in the text, meaning that that's what God requires of us. And there's another blessing, and that we talked about this last week, adoption. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because I preached a whole message on it last week. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this: as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let me tell you something. The power he gave you to become a son of God is settled at salvation. There's a lot more to living he has for you as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, man, I don't want to disappoint God. I can't wait to see what he's going to do for me. I mean, man, that's wonderful stuff. It's all because I'm in the family now, you see. I didn't have that before I got saved. I didn't have that hope. Or didn't. But I got it now. Look at verse 6. And I should be reading these little bits with you here. Verse 6. Notice we have our reception. The Bible says that the praise and glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted and the beloved. Amen. I'm glad that I'm accepted. I'm not the adopted in the family. People can't make fun of me for that. Because I got something that the world doesn't have. I have sonship. I have kinship with Christ. A lost person can't say that. So we find our reception. We are no longer homeless. Aren't you glad for that? That's a blessing, folks. You don't believe me, go to some of these big cities. You and I have been to New York several times. I'm telling you. I know it's worse now than it was. People are homeless, living under bridges, living in fields. We got them around sandhills in those woods. Right up between us and the sandhills, there are tents in those woods. That's where people, that's their life. At the other church in town we were at, we had somebody that actually didn't know it for a while was living in a tent behind a short wall between our front door of our church and the Sunday school building. And didn't even know they were there. Say, well, boy, I'm glad that's not me. Exactly. And that's why you ought to be thanking God that that's not you. Sure should. We're not homeless. We're not hopeless. Helpless. Hallelujah. In verse 7. He said, in whom we have redemption. You see the quality of these blessings? This is not just anything. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about being saved. We're talking about being bought back. God will never sell us our redemption in verse 7. Look at verse 9. Being made known to us the mystery of his will. How about that? You can know the thoughts of God to a point because our brains are only human and very, you know, earthly. I'm telling you, God has given us the opportunity to know his will. To communicate with God and God tell us, here's what I want you to do. And then us say, yes, sir, and do it. And then God say, you did a good job. Let me do something good for you. That's do you realize, folks, that could be an every once a week, not on Friday when mom and dad get paid. Because God doesn't worry about getting paid. Literally, every day can be an option for you. Do something for God and him do something really good for you. And it all because of our redemption. That's a quality blessing. And then notice he said, in that same verse, he said, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I mean, man, we've got redemption. We've got possession. We've got his salvation, the mystery of his will in verse 10, his sovereignty, the fullness of times. In verse 11, his sustenance. We've obtained an inheritance. I mean, man, we got it made in the shade, man. Like you say, we're in like Flynn. By the way, you know where that came from? Came from the actor Errol Flynn. He found himself in jail a lot because of his alcoholism. He'd always get out because the just give you a little history lesson here, because they want him to make those good movies like Robin Hood and Captain Blood and all that, so they'd bail him out. Other ones would get in and they wouldn't get no help because they were B actors. And so all of a sudden, he'd get in trouble. They'd see him on the lot and they'd say, well, he's in like Flynn. Where that came from? How about that? Yeah, I see it really impressed you. Yeah, okay. Let me move on. In verse 13, I like this one. Look at verse, in whom, talking about the quality of our blessings now, not the quantity, but the quality. In whom ye also trusted. Look, after that ye heard the word of truth. Is that not a quality blessing, be able to come to church and hear the word of God? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about a teacher, preacher, an evangelist, fire, Sister Lenora, singing up here like, I mean, listen, we get, and that's why our type of worship, I think, is the Bible type. Because it becomes it is a quality blessing that you can be here today. I'm blessed that you're here, but I'm telling you, you're blessed because you're here. Because God sees you here. God knows what's happening around us. Here you are, faithful, the house of God. That is a quality thing. Then notice in verse 14, said, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That means that's the proof. You realize, you know, we talk about heaven. Oh, we're going to heaven someday. You ever seen it? No, but I know it's there. Well, what makes you think that it's going to be any better there? Because it's better here. Remember, past performance in temporal things, past performance does not guarantee future success. But in eternal things, past performance is what we base our future success on. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's good to me yesterday, and he's been good to me today, I'm telling you, I know he's going to be good to me tomorrow. But that's all based upon whether or not I'm good to him, amen, and doing what he says. And then go back to verse number 3 and I'm done. We've seen the identity of these blessings, where they come from, the scope, the source, the succinctness. We've seen the quality of these blessings, and I showed you several of them throughout those verses. Now we go back to the text and give you the last thought, and that's the necessity of these blessings. Remember, it's all there. Something has to happen first. You say, right, preacher, we have to obey God and do His work. So there are a lot of people who are doing that, and they don't get blessed like we do. You know why? Because they're missing the one thing that's necessary. What it's saying, verse number 3, and I'm done. That's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. You see, it's all about being in Christ, not being in a Baptist church, not being in a baptismal pool, not being in a Baptist college or a Baptist school. It's all about Christ. It's not about the Pope. It's not about the preacher. It's not the presbytery. It's Christ. That's the necessity. God can give it to you, and He wants to if you belong to Him. I'm always going to give my kids first. I love your children. I love the kids around here. You know I do. I don't think there's anybody here that can doubt and say, our pastor doesn't love our children. I love your kids. I love your grandkids. And back that one up. I love seeing them. Holy Ghost said, shut up right now, bud. Oh, you know, I love your children. I'm telling you, if I have to choose between my two grown children and your cute, wonderful little children, I've got to pick mine first. And it's not because I think less of yours. It's because I think more of mine. And what kind of parent would you be if you didn't? I know in this world, you know, that's politically incorrect. You know, you're supposed to love the downtrodden. Well, I do. And more than I love my own. I don't do that. Well, God's got so much for us. And I think a lot of it, we don't even know what it is yet. And you know what? Because of our disobedience, a lot of times, maybe, you know, we won't ever know what it is till we get to heaven. I don't know if He's going to, you know, I've told you that Judy's used this illustration before and I thought it was good. You get to heaven at the judgment seat and God opened up the vault and say, look what you could have had. That may be why the tears. The Bible talks about God wiping the tears away. Maybe we'll realize then we could have had. I don't know. I do know one thing. We will realize what we could have done and didn't. Whether we got a blessing or a reward for it or not, we'll recognize at that moment the greatness of our God and how much of a failure we were. Our whole point is, but then when all that's over, I'm going to wipe the tears. You know what He's going to say? It's like I used to tell my kids, don't worry, we're not going to talk about it anymore. I'm telling you, God taught me a great lesson. Punish your children, then you leave it alone. Don't bring it up a week later. Don't do that. You do what you got to do. And when they're done, when it sinks in, then you hug on them. Don't hug on them afterward and say, oh, I didn't mean it. I'm telling you right now, I meant it every time I did it. Then I'd pull them aside and I'd say, listen now, it's all over now. I'm not going to fuss at you no more about that. Unless they did it again, of course. I mean, I wouldn't threaten them by saying, hey, remember what I did Monday? Aren't you glad God doesn't treat us that way? I'm telling you, we'd all be in the doghouse all the time. We would be heavenly bruised, amen, all the time. But isn't God a good God? But it all starts by being in Christ. You're blessed, folks, more than we'll ever realize until we get to heaven. We can take the time and the opportunity to kind of, and by the way, just look at today. You go to bed tonight, you get up in the morning, and have, by the way, look at today. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. You probably don't have time to go back too far, but when you do, just look at Sunday, March day. God, you were sure good to Monday, and count blessings. Name them one by one. And just tell God how grateful you are. If somebody were to do that to you, you know what you'd say to them? Oh, man, you know what God says? Tell me more. Because He could do something with it. Because He deserves that time. Father, we love you today.
I want to say thank you for my blessings today. As I said that, things started popping into my head. And I'm not going to do it now in front of everybody. But Lord, I can think about things that you've done for me today. I mean, blessings today. And they weren't just... I don't ever want to say just blessings. Of course, they were quality blessings. And I can say there was a lot of them, more than I deserve. And so, Lord, I pray that that all of us here will recognize goodness of God in spite of the crisis that's going on around us, in spite of, unfortunately, some people suffering in this day and hour around the world. God, I'm thankful that I can say I don't have it. Now, I might get it. And if I do, the Bible also says I can be thankful when things aren't going so well. But the same God who loved me before still loves me now. Father, I'm glad that unlike the world, my past performance does guarantee my future success. What God has done for me in the past proves to me that what He's going to do for me in the future is just down the road. Help us, Lord, to go home and go back to school or work, and of course school is out. Father, I pray that You'll help our folks be able to work out all of that where it won't be a hardship on them. But Father, help us to thank You for Your... It's a hardship for the kids not to be in school. It's a hardship for moms and dads to have to work out about their job or have to take time off or pay to have somebody watch, you know, all kinds of things there. Lord, many people would say, what an inconvenience. And what, man, how can you say that's a blessing? Because then you could turn right around and say, well, I've got to do all these extra things. Thank God my child's not suffering with the virus. Thank God my child's not in the hospital. Thank God I still have a job that I can go to. Thank God that my boss is understanding because all of his employees, including himself, may have to struggle with the logistics of what's happening here over the next little while. And so, God, we can say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Have your will and way to sit. And Father, I pray that folks, and even now, before they leave the building, will take the time to come down to the altar, get on their knees, and thank God for something, for the quality as well as the quantity of our blessings. We love you and thank you for all you do. Thank you for being God and loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.